In Washington, the administration and Congress have been working on a coronavirus stimulus package.
The big thing that has been a sticking point is the lack of a payroll tax cut. Democrats have said that is off the table because it doesn't address the problem. A payroll tax cut would help only workers who have jobs.
And it's been a wild week on Wall Street. How the volatility will impact folks at home.
You know, the markets are dealing with huge uncertainty right now, and that's being reflected in these outsized moves. You know, bad news could mean a very negative effect on the economy, whereas signs of hopefulness might mean that those previous plunges weren't entirely justified.
It's Friday, March 13th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. It's been a week of negotiations on Capitol Hill over a coronavirus stimulus package, but this afternoon, President Trump announced he's taking his own steps.
To unleash the full power of the federal government in this effort today, I am officially declaring a national emergency. Two very big words. The action I am taking will open up access to up to $50 billion.
Now, speaking in the Rose Garden, Trump called on states to set up emergency centers and that the Department of Health and Human Services is waiving restrictions to give hospitals and healthcare providers more flexibility to respond to the virus.
We'll remove or eliminate every obstacle necessary to deliver our people the care that they need and that they're entitled to. No resource will be spared. Nothing whatsoever.
In his speech, Trump also said that the federal government is partnering with private industry to get more test kits out there. As part of that goal, the Food and Drug Administration has granted emergency clearance to a new privately developed high-speed test for the virus. The test was developed by Roche. It's just the third diagnostic to be okayed by the FDA, and it's designed to run on the company's automated machines, which are already installed in more than 100 labs across the U.S. The White House says they've been working with Google on a new screening website and with pharmacies like CVS and Walgreens and retailers like Walmart to make drive-through tests available. And businesses are responding to the outbreak by tightening their belts. Delta Airlines announced today it will cut 40% of its capacity and ground up to 300 planes amid reduced demand. Delta stock, as well as shares of American Airlines, United, Alaska Air, and Southwest, have all fallen at least 33% since the start of the year. And there are signs the pandemic could be affecting deal-making. Xerox says it is putting a hold on its campaign to take over HP because of the outbreak. Last week, HP rejected Xerox's $35 billion acquisition offer. Markets responded positively to President Trump's announcement of a national emergency and the $50 billion of government funding that go along with it. The Dow and the S&P both made huge jumps on the news, ending what had been a turbulent day with gains. The Dow was up nearly 2,000 points, or 9.4%. The S&P and the NASDAQ both rose 9.3%. That capped off what has been the most volatile week on Wall Street in a generation. Let's bring in Wall Street Journal reporter Karen Langley. So Karen, you know, it's one thing for there to be one steep decline in the markets, but this week there were several. Can you just talk us through the craziness in the market this week?
Well, this has been a dramatic week in the markets. The S&P 500 has seen big moves in one direction or the other every day this week. This week, we saw the end of the longest ever bull market for U.S. stocks when the Dow Jones Industrial Average on Wednesday ended its 11-year bull run and entered a bear market, which means that it fell 20% from its most recent high. Then on Thursday, we saw stocks plunge again, and by the end of the day, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ Composite had joined the Dow in a bear market. You know, traders this week have described an atmosphere of real anxiety, not just about what this means for the markets and people's finances, but also the impact of the coronavirus more broadly on people's lives.
You know, on some occasions, after we see a sharp drop, it's followed the next day by a hard bounce upward, like Tuesday's nearly 1,200-point gain. Can you explain that for us?
You know, the markets are dealing with huge uncertainty right now, and that's being reflected in these outsized moves. You know, bad news could mean a very negative effect on the economy, whereas signs of hopefulness might mean that those previous plunges weren't entirely justified. And I think we're seeing the magnitude of those differences between bad and less bad scenarios really playing out in real time, day to day.
Now, I know for a lot of people on Main Street who are worried about getting sick, Wall Street may seem less important. What kind of ripple impact could this week's drop and any prolonged market turbulence have, you know, for the general public who are looking after their money?
Certainly for people with a 401k or other investments, there would be an impact on those savings. Well, I can't give investment advice. Professionals I've spoken with have cautioned against individuals making sudden moves in response to day-to-day volatility. But also, these rapid changes in prices in the markets reflect expectations for business and economic activity in the real world, if you will. And we're hearing more discussion of the risk that the economy could enter a recession. And if that were the case, that could certainly have an impact on people's livelihoods far from Wall Street.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Karen Langley with us. Karen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Earlier this afternoon, Speaker Nancy Pelosi delivered a statement on the Families First Coronavirus Response Act.
Today, we are passing a bill that does just that, the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which is focused directly on providing support for America's families, who must be our first priority. The three most important parts of this bill are testing, testing, testing. This legislation facilitates free coronavirus testing for everyone who needs a test, including the uninsured.
A package of stimulus programs to put money in the hands of people impacted by the coronavirus, everything from testing to making up for lost salary, has been the focus of contentious negotiations between Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill, along with the White House. Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes joins us from Washington to shed some light on the negotiating process. So, Siobhan, this package contains things like coronavirus testing that's free for everyone who needs it, paid sick leave and unemployment insurance for furloughed workers. Are there particular programs that were sticking points in the talks?
The big thing that has been a sticking point, at least from President Trump's perspective, is the lack of a payroll tax cut. Democrats have said that is off the table because it doesn't address the problem. A payroll tax cut would help only workers who have jobs, and the coronavirus crisis is going to leave a lot of people unemployed. So that was a big sticking point. Another point of contention had to do with the paid leave. The issue has to do with the mechanisms for delivering that to people and who ends up paying for it.
Now, this package really hits voters on Main Street. This deal will not only put money in people's pocketbooks who potentially miss work, but it'll quell a lot of fears as well. It seems like there's a lot at stake here for politicians on both sides.
There's an enormous amount at stake here for politicians on both sides. The most recent precedent is the 2008 financial crisis. Lawmakers here describe that as basically the closest comparison they can think of. This package is one piece of what's viewed as instrumental in keeping the entire economy, the entire healthcare system going. And so, yes, a tremendous weight is on lawmakers' shoulders.
Has there been any talk that this might be just one phase of a series of agreements if this economic crisis continues?
Absolutely. House Democrats have already said that they plan to be working on another package. It's very clear that's where talks are. One piece of it is there were conversations that were not able to be resolved in this round of negotiations, and so all of those will be moving to another round. There are conversations about doing things like, for example, an infrastructure package. That's something that Richard Shelby has wanted. Steny Hoyer, the House Majority Leader, told us this morning that because everything is so in flux, because lawmakers do not know exactly the extent of this coronavirus crisis or where it will take us, they are at the ready to do more as needed as issues become apparent.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And more Americans are being asked to work from home. And it's an adjustment. It's not just that we're spending more time on conference calls or in online chats. Research shows that more time spent online can correlate with feelings of loneliness. Our tech columnist, Christopher Mims, says there's a reason for that.
When we talk to other people face-to-face, we release various hormones and neurotransmitters that make us feel good, like oxytocin and dopamine. And strangely, or not so strangely, we don't release those when we are talking to people in some kind of mediated communication.
But in this age of self-quarantine and social distancing, there are ways to keep your mood up.
It's so easy to distract ourselves. It's so easy to reach out that we have gotten out of the habit of being satisfied with our own company, with embracing solitude, with going for a walk, with thinking our own thoughts and feeling our own emotions, whether they are positive or negative, and letting them pass through us. So really what I'm talking about is mindfulness. And I think the way that we achieve it is simply by accepting that we are going to be a lot lonelier during this period of social distancing and not trying to overcompensate by going on the internet more.
And that's What's News for this Friday. We'll be right back here for you on Monday in the AM. But if you're looking for more updates and news over the weekend, we have some great overviews and deep dives on WSJ.com. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.